Well, welcome to the Road Safety Podcast. This is a podcast that helps share how to manage the risks associated with driving and riding for work with me, Dr. Karen McDonnell, Occupational Health and Safety Policy Advisor at RoSPA. This how-to podcast series is part of the work of the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance project, funded by Transport Scotland and delivered by RoSPA, that contribute to Scotland's Road Safety Framework to 2030. Evidence shows that speed, seatbelts, distraction, fatigue, drink-drug driving and driver health remain key issues for people and organisations. This how-to series provides insights into how one organisation has tackled these issues and shares lessons learned. And today's episode is all about fatigue, managing fatigue and where this fits within an overall strategy for managing driving risk. I'm joined by Fiona O'Donnell, Global Health and Safety Strategy Lead at Jacobs, who are passionate about getting road safety right. There's a higher risk of collisions, drivers have slower reaction times and are less attentive when driving. Collisions are 50% more likely to end up in death or serious injury. When they're asleep, drivers don't brake and try to avoid the collision. For this reason, such collisions tend to be more severe and high impact. So a simple lack of sleep is typically the main problem, although shift working and driving after full day's work also have an impact. How do you check in with managers to ensure they are accounting for these factors when planning work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good question. So our travel planning process requires us to have conversations and risk assess properly around where you're going, how you're getting there, and what to do if you don't turn up. Part of that is obviously your working week and your working day and understanding how distracted you are or can impact the sound decisions that you're supposed to make when you get into a vehicle. So understanding working hours and understanding fatigue in general is an important part of our travel planning process.
And just out of interest, do you have within your organisation, I know it's all risk assessed towards reducing the number of miles driven, but do you have a maximum number of hours that people spend at work on a daily basis? That's a question that we're sometimes asked in terms of a compare and contrast, you know, whereby there might be a certain amount of time to travel to a site, certain number of hours worked, and then either stay over or return the same day. Just interested really in what your approach is there.
Yeah, so huge investment from Jacobs, to be honest, in this whole management of work-related road risk. And one of the, we were very cognizant of that we had people, particularly our project people, who would drive long distances, particularly across the US, where from site to site can be hundreds of kilometres. So part of our process and part of our procedure is that if you have to drive more than 300 miles in a day, that requires a higher level of sign off for that journey. And part of it is we will put you in a hotel for the night. So it will always be a question that we ask, how are you feeling? And if you want to stay over, if that's something that, you know, between the conversation between our staff and their line manager, they determine that that's the right thing to do because of the hours they've worked that day or the type of work they're doing on site once they get to site, or it's just too long a journey. It's over the 300, it's over the 300 kilometres a day. We will put you into a hotel and pay for that to make sure that you get a half decent night's sleep before you get into the car the following morning.
The Road Safety Podcast is brought to you by the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance and funded by Transport Scotland. For further information, visit our website www.scorsa.org.uk. And how do you find that drivers themselves respond to that? Because the instinct for people is to want to come home. That's what we find that from lots of conversations with other organisations, that these measures are put in place to protect people, but there is that literal drive for people to return home. How do you manage that situation?
Yeah, so look, this is down to culture, isn't it? We always say in Jacobs, family first. So as part of that conversation, if you need to put yourself at risk, and we need to put ourselves at risk as an organisation by allowing you to get into the car after you've worked 12 hours because you need to get home, we need to have a conversation about that. So it might not necessarily mean that we don't allow you to take the journey. It just might not be in a car. Yeah, but again, this comes down to that relationship between our people and their teams and their managers and the psychological safety we've talked about before, feeling comfortable raising issues, feeling comfortable telling your line manager that you need to be home for a family occasion. Look, we had a fatality in 2012. We had a great guy who was parachuted in to help out a project, and he lived in Manchester. We asked him to go to a meeting in London on a Thursday morning. He had his child's school recital on the Wednesday night. And, you know, you talk about the willing worker. He wanted to do the right thing by everybody. He wanted to go to his kid's recital, but he also wanted to help Jacobs out and be at that meeting the following morning. So he went to the recital after doing a full day's work. He got into his car and he never made it to London. His car left the road before he got to London. Now, we'll never know what happened, before that car left the road. But certainly, devastating impact for his family. He had a blended family. He was due to get married. So there was a number of children that relied on him. Devastating impact to our organisation because, you know, he did a team of people that worked with him that are still feeling the impact of his untimely death. And for what, you know? For what? You know, he won't ever return home, and lives have been absolutely devastated. Work doesn't matter, you know, it's family first, but it comes down to that, you know, that relationship and that culture between your staff and the people that are directing work in your organization.
And that's a life-changing example you've given us there, which has had an impact and will continue to have an impact on all the players involved. So, and I appreciate you sharing that. From a driver's perspective, in an organisation that doesn't have this, doesn't feel like it's got the family first approach, you know, whereby you've got a driver who says, you know, I've really been feeling tired for the last few weeks. I've not been sleeping well. How should I raise that with my employer? You know, what's the best first step to take there for people, do you think?
Just have the conversation. You know, it can be difficult if they feel that, it can be really difficult if they feel that once they disclose this, that it can impact the work that they get and the work that they do. And I totally understand and appreciate that there are a lot of organisations that aren't, on the same journey that we're on. But it comes down to what you've got at home and the people that are relying on you, and whether it's the right thing to take that risk or not. This one's a really open-ended question, Karen, isn't it? Because it's really hard to answer it without getting into specifics of organisations on how to change culture.
And then for that, just the final question here, just again to pick out where someone a couple of times a week has to undertake site visits. There's not an alternative way of getting to site given the geographical location. I'm going to say it's only twice a week. So the employer might think that that's not too repetitious, but the driver themselves is concerned that they're tired on the return journey. And again, how best to raise this with their employer?
Yeah, so I suppose from an employer and organisation perspective, you've got to be really clear about this in terms of your strategy and in terms of your overall risk management. If you are driving for work, you're at work. So your office effectively becomes the vehicle that they're in, and you must manage that risk. You have a legal obligation to manage the risk. You have a moral obligation to manage the risk. So I think there's a huge awareness that us as kind of leaders in this area need to help to try and influence, because there is a real lack of understanding across our industry about work-related road risk and the fact that it is something that an employer has to manage. I mean, if you look at Jacobs, typically you would never consider that driving would be our biggest risk. You know, we do all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff, but actually driving is our biggest risk. We hurt more people in cars every year than we do on some of our highest risk construction projects around the world. So if you're an employer and you think driving for work doesn't apply to you, you are absolutely wrong. If you have staff, it doesn't matter what size your organization are, if you have staff that work outside of one location, even if it's once a month, and you've only got one person out of 200 that has to leave that place of work and go and do a site visit or a client visit or whatever it is, that is driving for work, and that risk has to be managed.
Well, my thanks to Fiona O'Donnell, and thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your usual podcast provider so you don't miss an episode. And we would really love it if you could leave a review. It really makes the podcast easier for others to find. The Road Safety Podcast is produced by Fresh Air Production, and I'm Karen McDonnell, and thank you for listening.